Well, on January the 6th, 1978, Mickey and I walked the aisle and said our I do's. Part of our service that night was a song by one of our favorite groups in those days. Still love their music, the Carpenters. Yeah, y'all remember some of their songs? In our wedding, I think the song that we had, actually the pastor of the church I grew up in played and sang, and he was really, really good. But he sang the Carpenters' songs, We've Only Just Begun. They had a bunch of hits, Close to You, and on from there. So, of course, Karen Carpenter, I've often said, one of the most beautiful voices that you'll ever hear. One of their songs that was extremely popular that came out in 1971, Rainy Days and Mondays. A number of you will be familiar with that song, and it may be new territory for a few of you. But I want to read a few of the lyrics, the first couple of verses, because this is a song that when you hear it, most of their music was just powerful too. They had orchestra. Burt Bacharach wrote a lot of their songs that they did. But this song had a tad of a melancholy feel to it, but the words are really powerful. Talking to myself and feeling old, sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. I would attempt singing this, but after I've already mentioned Karen Carpenter, that's like batting after Mark McGuire. I'm not going to go there. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. What I've got, they used to call the blues. Nothing is really wrong. Feeling like I don't belong. Walking around, some kind of lonely clown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Then it goes into the bridge or chorus. Funny, but it seems I always wind up here with you. Nice to know somebody loves me. Funny, but it seems it's the only thing to do. Run and find the one who loves me. The one who loves me. So, a love song. She's expressing her blues, or she's down and out. But the answer is running to the one that she knows loves her. And similarly, as believers in our Lord Jesus, His bride, if you will, we also have some down days. I think if not everyone in the room, almost everyone in the room, that does some days just come and you're feeling down. And you may struggle with feeling alone. And this song suggests that, you need to find the one who loves you. That's the message of the song. When I'm feeling down and I'm feeling alone, I'm feeling forgotten, I need to find the one who loves me. I'm going to read Psalm 42. And I'm going to read it in its entirety, and I'm going to put the primary verse we're going to focus on tonight on the screen in a moment. But if you will, just allow me to just read the word over you and just let it speak to you. Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, Where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon and from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. I actually had those words I was supposed to put up there for you. Psalm 42, verse 5. I just read it. Why are you cast down, O my soul? That's in the New King James Version. I just read that. But I also want to read the New Living Translation, which is another translation that I enjoy just reading. Verse 5. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God, my Savior, and my God. So verse 5 begins with two questions and is followed by two answers. And the last half of that verse has great hope and encouragement for us when we're having our down day or when we're feeling forgotten. Here, the psalmist, as I read this, several things are going on. He's being reproached. You know, he testifies, I used to go to the house of God and all this praise, and we would have feasts. But now, my enemies are reproaching me, saying, where is your God? Two times he mentions that. Now, I'm being oppressed by my enemies. And they're saying, where is your God? Lord, why am I having all of this sorrow? Why am I cast down? Why have you forgotten me? So this is one of those very emotive, or one of those psalms that's very emotional. Now, it's called the Maskil. There's a section of the psalms that they call Maskil psalms. Some people refer to it as the second portion of the book of Psalms. And this one particularly was authored by the sons of Korah, probably the descendants of the same Korah who rebelled against Moses in the day back in the book of Numbers. But here now, not in rebellion, but his sons are writing songs that have instruction in them. They can be sung, they can be prayed, and this is one of those psalms. And it speaks to you tonight if you're like Karen Carpenter, having a rainy day or Monday, a down day, things aren't going your way. As believers, we might say things, it doesn't seem like God is anywhere to be found. I don't sense His presence. The heavens are brass, and my prayers aren't being answered, and my get up and go spiritually has gotten up and gone, and you know, I'm struggling with doubt and fear and unbelief. And, you know, it's like my enemies are, they're getting one win after the other. Where are you, God? So, what I want to do is I want to share some tips to encourage you tonight. And we're going to look at four of them. Okay? The first one on the screen is I want to encourage you, talk yourself up, not down. There are so many places in the Scripture where this idea is seen. To be a positive, not a negative. Because what's happening here with the psalmist is he's focusing on the negative and he's talking about the negative. But fortunately, we see him shifting from that into the positive. This is what I'm feeling, but this is who I know God is. So talk yourself up and not down. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? He's talking to himself. Sometimes we have to preach to ourselves. We have to remind ourselves of what we truly believe. And it's important to monitor our speech, what we're saying. You know, if we don't allow the words that are coming out of our mouth to first be sanctioned by the Holy Spirit, from our spirit, then we can preach ourselves into trouble. We can prophesy ourselves into trouble. I remind you, believers, you are a prophetic person. Acts 2 says Joel 2 was fulfilled. Sons and daughters prophesy. And we're sons and daughters of God. We are a prophetic people. Here at Grace House, we are a prophetic culture. And so we realize the Bible says that life and death are in the power of our tongue. You know, we've got power and poison, the capability of both in our mouth. And it's important that we talk ourselves up. And I'm talking about talking to yourself. This would apply in anything you're saying and anything you're saying to someone else. But tonight, the point is, sometimes you have to talk to yourself. Because we can just be saying things. Well, you know, I just don't feel like doing anything today. It's such a bad day, and you know, I can already tell this is going to be a lousy day. And what we're doing is we are forecasting by faith the atmosphere that we believe is going to surround our life throughout the course of the day. You're forecasting, you're giving an emotional weather report for the whole day. By talking this way, you know. Now, I'm not saying that you don't acknowledge, you know, I'm having a tough day, but and I'll get into that in just a moment. It's all right to share what's going on if you share it in the right way and you share it with the right person. Okay? But talk yourself up, not down. Our words are like little shovels. You know, we can dig ourselves a hole. We can bury ourselves with the words that we speak. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. James reminds us our tongue is like a rudder on a ship. Big, big ship can be turned with a little rudder right into the rocks for shipwreck with just a little turn of that rudder. And the Bible says our tongue is like that rudder on a ship. So it's important that we are a people of faith who understand that the words we speak have an influence on our lives, on what kind of day we're going to have. You know, we're overcomers. We're to be more than conquerors. There's the sense in which there should be an indomitable nature in us, and there is in Christ. We shouldn't be dominated by any circumstance. We should be able to mount up on wings and get above the circumstances and not live under them, but above them. Have God's perspective, which means we're living wisely. So talk yourself up, not down. And he talks about, he remembers better days. He used to go to the house of God. He used to go with others, the multitude. He used to hang out with them and worship with them. But see, something has changed. He's gotten cast down. And have you had that happen in your life before? You know, Saturday you start thinking about it. When Sunday morning comes, you know, I just don't want to be around anybody today. I'm just going to take a break today. And I understand sometimes there are other commitments, family and things. I understand that. But the enemy wants to get you in an emotional place to separate you from what you need. And you need other believers. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some are. The broader Hebrews says it was happening in the early church too. And he said, you need it even more the closer we get to the Lord's coming. And now we're 2,000 years removed from them. How much more do we need the encouragement that comes from gathering corporately in this way? It's important. Sometimes it may just be that encouraging word you get when you walk in the door back there. Or during the greeting, somebody looks you in the eye and says, bless you today. Somebody comes up and tells you, you know, I appreciate that prayer. Let me show you what God did for me. Those words, a word fitly spoken is like an apple of gold in a setting of silver. We can speak life over one another. So learn to talk yourself up, not down. Most of us have already gotten our degrees in negative self-talk. But we need to be discipled in the Word of God so that our tongues on our side, not working against us. The enemy loves to find a believer with a rebellious tongue. He can go to work right there. When life is heaping problems upon you, that's when you need to begin heaping praise upon God. He said, I will praise the Lord. This is the up talk. I'll praise you, God. I think you're the God of all power. You know all things. You know where I am. You know what I need. You know what I'm going through. I trust you. Lord, I remember. I remember the things you've done for me. I remember. And you begin to declare the scriptures. I remember when our children were smaller, and I think at that time both Elliot and Nathan were in Shoals Christian School, and Mickey or I would take them to school. And on the way to school every day, we trained them to declare God's Word. And so one day when Mickey was at the school, I think it was Elliot's teacher came up and asked her, you know, where can I get that, the thing that Elliot says? And Mickey got to asking questions. Well, I think it was in class, praying or something, but he was declaring what we taught him. So we were declaring, I am the head and not the tail. I'm above and I'm not below. I am blessed when I go in and I'm blessed when I go out. I haven't been given a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. God is for me and not against me. I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. And my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I have the power and authority to trample under my feet all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm me. No plague will come near my dwelling. When the enemy comes against me, then the Spirit of God will come in like a flood and raise up a standard against him. So on and on like that. That's talking yourself up. That's telling your flesh, you're not in charge in my life this day. Learn to talk yourself up and not down. Get in agreement with God, not the devil. Second tip, start an investigation into your agitation. Isn't that what he's doing? He's asking questions. Like, now wait a minute. Why are you cast down, O my soul? What's going on inside of me? Why am I feeling this way? I'm a child of God. I'm not supposed to be feeling this way. Why have I got all this heaviness on me? This word, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? That word disquieted, it means turmoil. It means to murmur, to growl, to roar, to be boisterous, to agitate, to create turbulence, trouble, to be disturbed. You got the picture? As we'd say in the South, why have I got my drawers in a wad? Why am I all worked up? Why are my buttons being pushed? Why are my breakers being tripped? I know I'm going to get a talking to about that. But not a one of you were confused about what that means. But isn't that what he said? He's investigating. Like the psalmist does in something, search me and try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. He's getting honest with God. Lord, I'm not feeling the way I'm supposed to feel. Something's not right. What's going on? I don't want to feel this way. I'm going to hope in you. I'm going to praise you. Why am I cast down? Soul, nephesh, your mind, your emotions, your will, your life, your being, your imagination, your reason. The soul, that part of you where all that stuff, your emotions percolate and your feelings run hither and yon and so forth. So there needs to be an investigation into your agitation. And this needs to be done honestly. And it says, when our soul is disquieted, now hang on here. Why are you disquieted? In other words, unquiet. Quietness is gone. You know what one of the keys is in this investigation? Is to quieten your soul. Be still. And know He's God. Get before God and, Lord, honestly, help me to remember. And sometimes the Holy Spirit there may very well put His finger, so to speak, on that angrily spoken word last night. Or when you crossed the line with your temper earlier this morning. Or when you laughed and carried on at the office over a vulgar joke that was told. And He does that so that we can deal with that. And that's where confession and repentance comes in. Confession simply means, you're right, Lord. I should have not called Him what I called Him. And I should not have had the anger in my heart that was behind those words. You're right, Lord. I repent. Now what you're doing, you're getting your soul back in the right place in submission to the spirit man in you. So start an investigation into your agitation. The third tip, let your faith finish what your feeling started. Isn't that what we see in this verse? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Talking about how he feels. Why are you disquieted without in me? All this turmoil, this turbulence. And I like other versions, the ESV and so forth, says, or the New Living Translation, I will hope in God. I will praise Him. He starts with feelings, being honest about his feelings, but he finishes with his faith. And sometimes it's almost like we need to call out and stop ourselves like, you know what? I don't like this version of me right now. And if I don't like being with me, I'm pretty sure the folks around me aren't liking being with me either. Right? So Lord, I should be honest, you know, what's going on here. And then the Holy Spirit shows you something. Or it may just be like the psalmist, all these enemies reproaching him. Yeah, where's your God? You know, just berating, beating down. It may not be that you've done anything wrong. It's just you're tired of putting up with what you're having to put up with, and it's got you in a stinky place. So you've got to let your faith finish what your feelings have started. We are not called to live by how we feel. We are called to live by what we believe. It is not our feelings that is on the front of the train. It is our faith. And sometimes we have to unhook and get that our feelings back there in the caboose where they're supposed to be, following what we believe. Bring them in alignment. And I'm not saying it's wrong to say, you know what, I'm just not having a good day. I'm not feeling good today. You know, a lot of things are going wrong. If you stop there and just keep piling on in that place, the pile's just going to get bigger. But, you know, okay, this is the fact. This is what's happening. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to switch now to my spirit man, and I'm going to begin to declare that this is the day the Lord has made, and I am going to rejoice in it, and I'm going to push my feelings aside, and I'm going to let the eyes of faith let me begin to see the blessings of God in this day. Pastor Larry stood right here and said, even going through having brain surgery and having part of his pituitary gland cut out, that every trial he's ever gone through, God used it. And that's the truth. Didn't say God caused it, but God used it. Listen, he's your Father, and he's looking out for you. You may feel alone, but you are not alone. He promised never to leave you or forsake you. He hasn't forgotten you. So let your faith finish what your feelings have started. He said, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. A prayer to the God of my life. Now he's prophesying, you know. Starting in the daytime, I'm going to look for God's loving kindness. And even in the nighttime, you know what? His song's going to be with me. And before I ran across this psalm the other night, I woke up. And I was meditating on the Scripture, reading some Scripture. And I just started singing in the middle of the night. I'm glad I didn't wake Mickey up. But there is a song in the night. Or, if you will, when it's dark and you can't see very far and maybe there's not much activity and there's no evidence of what God's doing, you still have a song in your heart that can be sung out in praise. And that will shift the atmosphere around your life. It's all through the Scripture. Last tip. Consult God's track record. When you're having a down day, just consult God's track record in your life. Consult His track record as recorded in the Scriptures. The last time I read it, He's had no losses. He's had no days when He's been defeated. He's had no memory lapses. He's made no sinful choices. He's had no powerless days. The psalmist talks about, he says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul. He goes on to there. But he said, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise. That tells us he had times in his life when he saw God moving and he was at a different place. Sometimes when you're not feeling the right feeling, remember the days you had the right feeling. You know, and it's not about feeling, but remember those times you've experienced the manifest presence of God. Remember the story on a Wednesday night of how God touched a man and gave him a creative miracle. And Sunday morning we saw God give a breakthrough that was 40 years in the making right here in this altar. Remember those things you've seen God do. They're weapons in your hand. Consult His track record. He talks about the mountains. Let me read this. He says, "For therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar." Those were places where they'd seen God's presence manifest, and they'd seen God move and do. And even the mountains themselves were made by God, those beautiful places. Let your mind take you into the creative power of God, into the testimonies of the miracles of God, into the promises of the Word of God. Consult God's track record. Now, I want to close with Proverbs 13:12, which simply says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when desire comes, it is a tree of life." You know, hope deferred, that's like the one disappointment after the other, no breakthrough. You're waiting. He said, "I will hope, put my hope in God." He's declaring, I'm in Psalm 42:5, "I will hope in God." He's waiting on God. It hadn't happened, but it's going to happen. He can't see the evidence right now, but he's going to see it. He's going to praise God until his eyes see, his natural eyes see what the eyes of his faith see. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when desire comes, it's amazing how beginning to declare the Word of God, beginning to praise God, beginning to just pray, knowing that God's a loving God and wants to hear your prayer and will move to answer your prayer, and having hope in your heart, that expectation of God doing what He said He's going to do. When you're in that place, it's amazing how it can ignite the desire you need that will be life to you. Because when desire comes, it's a tree of life. Such an occasion happened for me. It was in 1992. I graduated with my Master of Divinity degree in 1991. And Mickey and I began pastoring in Northwest Mississippi. And I enrolled in a doctoral program, a Doctor of Ministry in Expository Preaching, which is a two-year program. And it was under the tutelage of Dr. Stephen Olford, a very well-known expository preacher originally from Britain. And this was done through Trinity Theological Seminary. And there's just massive amount of work involved in that degree. And I really wanted to finish it on time. And I was pastoring, and we were very, where I was pastoring, it was from daylight to dark every day and then some. It was just very demanding, very high maintenance in a lot of ways, actually. And so I remember being in we lived in a little four-room house that we were renting, and I remember being in our living room one day, and I was just having one of these rainy days and Mondays kind of day. And I was looking through all of the coursework, the syllabus and the courses and the papers I had to write and the projects in order to finish my degree. And I just don't see how this is going to be possible. And I was really beginning to feel, I was just thinking about maybe I just need to drop out. And I remember I was just standing there, I was by myself. And just standing in the room, and I got to thinking, Lord, I truly believe You led me to take this step of faith. And I got to thinking about this, what the Scripture said. Faithful is He who's called you, who also will do it. Lord, I feel like You've called me to do this. This is not necessarily a part of everybody's journey, but I believe You're saying this is to be a part of my journey, that I'm get this particular kind of training. I can do all things through Christ, who is my strength. I mentioned that earlier. And those Scriptures. And I just got to pour my heart out, Lord, I don't think in the natural I'm going to have what it takes. But your word says I can do the will of God by the grace that you'll give me. I know that you are my help, and I'm looking to you. I know you're where my help comes from, and I just pray, Lord, that you would help me. And this was in my Baptist days, and I stood there in that living room, and the more I prayed, and I'm saying this out loud, I actually just could feel the presence of God. There's something changing inside of me. And then all of a sudden, this desire started rising up with me. Next thing I knew, I was kind of pacing back and forth. I can do this. God's told me to do this. And if I couldn't do it, He wouldn't have told me to do it. He always gives you grace to do what He told you to do. He always will give you grace to do His will. It may be hard. It may be difficult. But I can do all things. He's told me to do this. And the next thing I know, I had preached myself into a place of, I'm going to dive into this thing. And here's the thing about it. In those moments, something shifted inside of me that changed my outlook and my disposition. It went from negative talk to positive talk. It went from a pulling down feeling away from what God was asking me to do to an energizing type of feeling inside of me to jump right in the middle of it and get her done, buddy. I mean, it was that kind of thing. And it went on for the next 6 or 7 months. And I finished the program ahead of time, and 900 pages later that I turned in, I was done. And every bit of it was done working it in between everything else that I had to do. That's God's grace. But I look back on that and I realize God knew He was going to use that in my life. That was part of His path for my journey. And the enemy was working overtime to try to back me away from what I knew God was calling me to do. And I'm so glad that in that moment I humbled myself and stepped into what I was supposed to do when I'm feeling down. It works. It works. Learn to run to the one who loves you. And His name is Jesus. Would you stand with me? Would you bow your heads for just a moment as we conclude this time together tonight? If you're feeling down and discouraged this evening, I encourage you to take the psalmist's advice tonight and put your hope in God. Take His advice and make a commitment. I am going to praise God in the middle of this. Take His advice that He is the God of salvation. Hebrew word there is Yeshua, our Savior. For us, it's Jesus. Jesus. Lord, help me is a great prayer to pray. Lord, I'm committed tonight. I'm going to praise You. I'm going to praise You. Come what will, I am going to praise You. And I'm waiting on You. My hope is in You. It's going to happen, and when it does, you're getting the glory for it. That's where my faith is. Be encouraged tonight. I want to ask you to stand, or you're already standing. I want to ask our prayer team members to come and just be here in the altar area. I'm about to dismiss you, but I want our prayer team members to be up here. You may need someone to pray with you tonight. Someone just to speak life over you. To pray you up in a sense. There may need to be some confession or repentance. Just be faithful. He is your help. Run to the one you love tonight. Come to Jesus. Just step out from where you are if you need prayer. And they'll be here after we dismiss to continue praying with you. You know it's a middle of a school week, probably got jobs tomorrow. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, may you leave with encouragement in your heart tonight. May this word find a resting place inside of you. Oh, please don't be your own worst enemy. The Lord's on your side. Get on that side with Him. The best version of you. The faith-filled, love-filled, hope-filled, praise-filled, spirit-filled you. Your spirit man. Rise up. Begin to declare, let God arise in my life. Let my enemies be scattered. Don't let all that devilish, negative talk drag you down, hold you down. Don't be a hole digger digging your own grave. Be one who's releasing the power and praise of the name of your God across your lips. See God begin to move in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, may you rest well tonight. May your sleep be sweet. May the voice you hear be the voice of the Spirit of God. May the word you follow be the word of the living God. Go forth. Change this world for His glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Community Bible study here at 9 a.m. in the morning in Dining Hall. 10 in the morning, sorry. And see you Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10, or 8:30 and 10, whatever the case may be. Love you all. God bless you.